Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake Cowden, joined as always by twin Matt Cowden. Matt, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. Well, we're still working on our intro music. Our little sister is working on that, so we're trying to get some intro music. We also are joined by NBA writer Aiden Welsh, joining the show for the first time. Aiden, how the heck are you, man?
I'm doing good, Jake. I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Good. You two are in Salt Lake City recording. I'm in Arizona, so as soon as we're done, I'm going to hop in my pool. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, should be good time. See, yeah, now you're getting into, I mean, not now, for a couple other months it's going to be hot, but now you're going to start to get into the good, like it's going to be worth living in Arizona because it's not going to be deathly hot anymore.
It's going to be the best part of living here for sure. Yeah, and I'm moving next Saturday, so you two won't get to help me move, which we're just from Mesa to Scottsdale, so staying in Arizona, but... So we got a really good show today. So first we're going to talk about Aiden Welsh wrote an article for our blog. It's mjdoubletake.blogspot.com about Donovan Mitchell, the guard for the Utah Jazz, who is just the heartthrob of Salt Lake City. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about our AFC playoff predictions for the NFL. Last week we did our NFC playoff predictions. So this week we're going to do AFC. The next episode, a week before the NFL starts, we're going to do, you know, like who we think is going to actually win the playoffs. So right now we're just picking what teams we think are going to be in the playoffs. But we're going to start with that article on Donovan Mitchell. But first we're going to talk a little bit, just recap what happened in sports this week. Big thing that happened in soccer is Real Salt Lake beat Colorado 6-0. And that's a huge rivalry game. So we're really stoked about that.
Well, when we say huge rivalry game, you know, Colorado hasn't won in years. I mean, we've had 10 out of the last 12, so it's not a huge deal.
Yeah, it's kind of like when the Lakers and the Kings were quote-unquote rivals, but they, like, the Kings would, like, you know, Mike Bibby, Peja Stojakovic, Chris Webber. Who else was Doug Christie, I think, was a shooting guard on that team. You know, they could never beat Kobe. So it's technically a rivalry with the Lakers, but they never actually won. So it's kind of like Colorado's kind of like the Sacramento Kings, which I think is the meanest thing I can say.
Yeah, that is. And they deserve it because they're pretty close to the bottom of the table. What I was excited about, though, is the goal differential. And so for those of you who aren't familiar with soccer tiebreakers, the teams who score the most goals and have the least goals scored against them have a tiebreaker advantage. And Real was at -8 because they had a pretty terrible beginning of the season. But by winning 6-0, now they're at -2. So they're going to, you know, they could theoretically end up in a tie with like Vancouver for the last spot in the playoffs. And so now this puts them 6 goals ahead of Vancouver. So in addition to the Rocky Mountain Cup, that's going to be, that could end up being very, very important for them.
Yeah. So that was an exciting win. And then in other soccer, the other game I watched was LAFC and the LA Galaxy tied 1-1. So that's just big because those are big clubs. And now I want to talk about Urban Meyer for a little bit, unless there's some more soccer stuff you want to go over.
No, I'm good.
Yeah. So, well, last week on the show, so Urban Meyer this week, it was announced he was suspended for 3 games for mishandling the situation with Zach Smith and who was an assistant coach for Ohio State, and his wife, Courtney Smith, some domestic violence stuff. And Matt and I were talking last week because I went and watched a kid commit to Ohio State if Urban was going to keep his job. So I thought he was going to. Suspended 3 games. The big reason for that, like the reason that's big, excuse me, I hiccups. Sorry. So the third game of their season, Ohio State is playing number right now 15 or 16 TCU, depending on the poll you're looking at. So I don't think it's going to be a huge deal with Urban gone, but if TCU can beat Ohio State, then Ohio State would have to run through the conference in order to get to the playoffs. So that TCU game suddenly becomes huge for Ohio State because they play Michigan State, and Penn State. And I believe they play Wisconsin this year as well. So their in-conference schedule is going to be really tough. Let me just pull it up. Yeah, they do not play Wisconsin. They play Nebraska, who I think is going to be good but not great. So they lucked out of Wisconsin. So they got Michigan, Michigan State, and Penn State. And then the Michigan State and Penn State games are on the road. So that TCU game is huge for Ohio State. So that's the Urban Meyer news.
Yeah. What I just, real quick, the thing that I thought was crazy about that, obviously the football impact is important, but it's just nuts for me. We talked about last week how you had those UNC players getting suspended for like four, most of them got suspended for four games for selling shoes. And then Urban Meyer is only getting suspended three games for not dealing with a domestic abuse accusation. So I just, like, it's crazy how different the standards are that we hold the coaches and the players to, and like how, I don't know, it's just absurd the way that we treat players, and I think that just showed this week.
Yeah, and I think the three-game suspension is interesting. I honestly think it would have been less, but the only reason it was three is because they wanted to get the TCU game so they could, like, show, like, oh, it's about more than just football, blah, blah, blah. I think they did that on purpose, like, the minimum amount of games as possible where – and they're still getting, you know, like, it should have been more, but they're always going to get that. But I think they included the TCU game. That was on purpose, showing, like, yo, it's more important than football, blah, 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 which – the blah, 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 obviously, is more important than football, but that's just quoting, like, the Ohio State administration.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah. I read that's what they said.
Yeah, so that's what I think happened. So that's this week in sports, big sports. We are Thursday, college football kicks off. Week zero was this week, so we're going to maybe talk about some college football. And then the NFL's in a couple weeks. Well, it's about a month and a half away is the NBA preseason, which – we're all really excited about. I'm excited to see the Jazz. Bad part, I checked the schedule. They don't come to Phoenix until March and then April. So March and April will be fun, but I don't get to see them in person for a while unless they come for their Christmas game.
That is a while. Well, if you don't have tickets to the Christmas game, they're probably gone.
Are they gone already?
Do you know?
Yeah, probably.
Well, I didn't even know they were selling them. I would have bought them.
Yeah, no, it is insane how much the tickets have sold. I mean, Aiden probably knows a little bit more about this, but I think the season tickets are already gone. Like, probably Golden State is gone. Yeah.
All the, like, Lakers are easily gone. Golden State, all the big names. Like, I think even Cleveland, like, because of Colin Sexton, might even be close to sold out.
I'm guessing Boston sold out, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was probably the first one that sold out.
Yeah.
Dang.
It was even sold out last year.
That sucks. I really wanted to go to the crib. I thought they weren't even on sale yet. Dang, that sucks. Well, that's my own fault.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you can come back, and I'm sure they'll be playing the Kings, and you might be able to go to that.
Yeah. Actually, I'd love to watch Dallas so I can see Luka Doncic and Dennis Smith Jr.
That might work. That's true. That might be available.
That'd be sick. You can see Dirk on his farewell tour.
Yeah. But that's – I mean, that's a little bit what this article talked about is just, you know, because this is an unusual thing. Like you said, you thought tickets were going to be available for longer because they typically are. But because of Donovan Mitchell coming to the Jazz and just how important he's been to the team and just how fun he is to watch, just we're so excited. Like, this is the most excited I've ever been about the Jazz. So, like, Aiden, I know it's in the article, but what are like a couple of, like, what do you think is the biggest thing that are getting, why people are gravitating to Donovan so much?
Well, I think it's just his playmaking. Mm-hmm. And the moment he came into the NBA, like, I was trying to figure out who he reminded me of. And then I figured it out when they played Portland. I think he's a lot like Damian Lillard in the way he plays and how he shoots. Which is interesting because he did beat Damian Lillard's three-point record.
Right.
As a rookie.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one thing that was in there that I didn't notice. So I knew that he made 186 three-pointers, which was the record, but I didn't realize that in 63 games he made 150, which is obviously a much higher clip. Yeah. So in that, obviously, because the beginning of the year he was pretty terrible shooting the ball. So that makes me super hopeful for coming into next year that he's just going to be able to, I mean, at that pace, he should break 200.
Oh yeah. I think he'll easily break 200 before 82 games or even before 70 games.
Yeah.
Just with how he's been warming up in the off season and everything.
Do you think that, he or Joe Ingles makes more three pointers next year?
I think if it gets down to crunch time, I think Donovan will, like, overall, but I think he's going to try to get more assists and share the ball a little more just to get Joe and everyone involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one thing we've talked about this on the show as well, but that Donovan Aaron area he can improve is off the dribble threes. I think that was his – Matt knows the percentages better, but I think he was pretty, like, significantly worse in that area compared to his catch and shoot threes. So it sounds like that's what one thing he's working on this summer. So if he can improve that, I'm really excited to see that. And then and another thing you talked about in your article is all the off-the-court stuff that Donovan Mitchell does, you know, more so than the dunk contest. Do you want to tell us about some of the off-the-court stuff Donovan Mitchell has been doing during the season, also this summer?
Yeah, mostly, like, a lot of it's been in the news just because it's Donovan Mitchell. But there was one story that I heard recently. There was a dude at the Apple store in Salt Lake, and Donovan was also at that same Apple store, and that he was trying to get his phone fixed and he couldn't afford it. So Donovan was like, I'll just take the bill and here you go. And just paid the guy the money to fix the phone and just walked off, not expecting like any praise for it or anything. And then also another thing he did was the whole girl with cancer. She was getting a surgery and noticed Donovan by the Cheesecake Factory and went up and talked to him. And he was just like, oh yeah, I'll sign this, I'll take a picture. And then he ran to his car without anybody asking, grabbed a brand new pair of shoes and just signed them and gave them to her.
That'd be so nice just to have extra shoes to give away.
I know, right? Oh, yeah. Especially Donovan's shoes.
I know. Yeah. So this isn't on subject, but so Donovan Mitchell is sponsored by Adidas. Adidas came out with the new shoes that Donovan Mitchell's gonna wear. They're like the crazy Boost or like something. Let's see.
Some Boost. All the Adidas shoes are Boost. But while you're looking at that, the reason that I like, you know, these stories about Donovan Mitchell is because, you know, I'm sure he was aware that people would probably hear about these stories, especially after it had happened to him two or three times. But it's not like something, you know, where he's bringing his camera crew around. And it's not even that he's looking for these opportunities. He's just like seeing people and he realizes like, oh, I could make this person today if I show up to this basketball tournament or if I give these people my shoes. And just the fact that he's aware of the community and what he means to the community and that he's just, when he sees an opportunity to make somebody's day, he takes it. I mean, I just, you know, I love that.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is, I mean, it's unfortunate, but just because of the timing, he's always going to be compared to Gordon Hayward because he came in the summer Hayward left. So, right. Like, it took Hayward – none of us liked him, like, his rookie year. You know what I mean? Like, I was not thrilled that we drafted him. And then this isn't just looking back being bitter. Like, I loved him his last couple seasons in Salt Lake. But, like, when we drafted him, like, no one was excited about it. He would get, like, wet willies from Delonte West. Didn't really, like, do anything that was exciting. And, like, Donovan Mitchell is here. He's on TMZ. He literally wins the dunk contest. He's doing all this stuff. Like, the whole country loves him, not just Salt Lake City. And then this was, like, the funnest Jazz team to watch that, like, I can remember growing up, honestly. Like, I love the team with, like, Darren Williams, Kyle Korver, Matt Harpering that, like, went to the Western Conference Finals. That and this team, I think, were, like, the most exciting seasons that I remember.
Yeah, well, like, what I think about Donovan is, and Aiden talked about this a little bit, about him playing, like, Damian Lillard and being fun to watch. Like, people just like his style of play a lot. Like, James Harden and Russell Westbrook, I don't know, you know, who's better between the two, but I think most people like watching Russell Westbrook more just because he has a funner style of play to watch. And Donovan, like the shots that he takes, you know, the way that he dribbles, the way that he, you know, signals to the crowd, he's got a great smile. I mean, he's just so charismatic. It's crazy.
Well, yeah, and James Harden's the most boring person to watch in the whole league.
Yeah. Although I will say, and this, you know, can maybe transition into what we expect from Donovan in the future. We talked about it a little bit. The thing that I think that I want Donovan to improve on, at least offensively, is drawing more fouls. I think that is a way that he can able to get his points up and get his efficiency up, because that's the thing people criticized. I thought that was a dumb criticism, but you know, that's something that people are going to make. So what are, do you see any areas of his game that you think that he needs to improve and that you think he can improve pretty easy?
Well, so this is like inside, but during one of his warmups, his trainer, his name's Johnny, and he was
Johnny Bryan, right?
Yeah, Johnny Bryan.
Yeah.
And I heard him talking to him, and he was like shooting free throws, and Donovan was missing a lot of them. He said, "I bet Ben Simmons wouldn't miss two in a row." And then Donovan hit 30 free throws in a row after that.
I love that.
So I think he'll improve his free throws a lot. And he's been training with James Harden and Chris Paul, who are both really like easily fouled just because of how they play. So I think he'll improve
Harden,
free throw percentage.
Yeah, definitely. That'll really help. And, you know, obviously the efficiency is important. I think with Donovan, it's a little weird. I think the free throws are the only thing that you can, you know, criticize. And like I said, I want that to get better. But I tell people, like, Damian Lillard and Ricky Rubio have the same three-point percentage. Who would you rather have taking a three-pointer?
Damian Lillard.
It's Damian Lillard, yeah. Easily. Yeah. And it's because the shots that Damian Lillard are taking are so much harder. So what was happening with Donovan last year is he had to take so many difficult shots, and that's why his percentages were sometimes lower. So hopefully, you know, this year, you know, I think Royce O'Neal, I think we can expect him to be a little bit better, do some more things. We're going to have Dante Exum, who showed some flashes in that Houston series that, mm-hmm. well, certainly that he can be a really good defender, but also offensively being able to drive. So I'm thinking with that and the free throws, he's going to be a lot more efficient player this year, which is going to be really exciting.
And people were criticizing, like, with the whole rookie of the year race, they're like, oh, his three-point percentage is so low. And that's like, but Ben Simmons didn't even attempt one free throw or one three-point all year. Like, yeah. Didn't even try.
Yeah, well, it's like, who would you rather have taking the three-pointer? Donovan or Joe Ingles probably isn't open.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he'd be taking more. So other than that, if it's not Donovan, it's going to be, you know, Ricky Rubio or Royce O'Neal. And both those guys have improved a lot, but I would rather have Donovan Mitchell taking a bad shot.
Yeah, 100%, because he's the person that can make that.
Yeah, absolutely.
His three-pointer against the Spurs, I know we lost the game, but on the road in San Antonio, it was in, like, March, where he hit it with, like, 5 or 10 seconds left to go to overtime. Do you guys know the shot I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, at the elbow.
My heart stopped. That was, like, I cried a little bit of happiness. That was such an incredible shot. Like, that was my favorite moment of the entire year, like, with that shot.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah, and I think another thing that's going to help Donovan Mitchell is I love Jonas Direkpo, but, you know, replacing him with Grayson Allen and Dante Exum is going to play more. Those are guys who can shoot, especially corner threes, but are a lot more slashers compared to Direkpo. I think especially Exum more so than Allen, who's going to have a lot more playing time. But Exum, he's another ball handler, so Mitchell won't have to share point guard responsibilities as much when Rubio's off the floor, which last year Rubio was off, Donovan became the guard, basically. So I think having Exum, like those three guards playing in rotation, is going to be like the most important thing next year for Mitchell's development.
Yeah. What do you, Aiden, think of Dante Exum's contract, by the way? It's 3 years. $11 million each year. Some people are saying it's too much. Some people think that, you know, the Jazz trust him, so we should trust him, that that's going to end up being a good deal for the Jazz.
I personally like how Dante Exum plays, but the fact that he's injured a lot, I think that maybe the $11 million each year was a couple million too high, but I think that he's an asset to back up Donovan.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I think he can play up to it. Like, my issue is, like, it was a little high for what he's done. We're banking on, you know, what we think he'll be playing, like, during the length of the contract, which is a gamble. But I think, you know, if he's as good as we all think he can be, $11 million is not going to be too much.
Yeah. And, I mean, I'm pretty confident the Jazz got a new training staff this year. And, you know, it seemed like Rudy Gobert was able to get back from his injuries quicker. Derek Favors' back was so much better. So, I mean, I trust these guys. So I'm pretty hopeful that Dante can stay healthy. The last question, the one I was thinking about earlier, and this is, you know, I usually don't like these which player is better I just think it's interesting from a team building perspective. So assuming they're both healthy and it's only for this year, it's not for the future because Donovan's younger. Mm-hmm. Do you think Rudy or Donovan is more important for the Jazz? Because obviously, you know, they need them both.
I think no offense against Rudy, but I think Donovan is more important because when like Rudy and Gordon Hayward were on the same team, it took them 7 years to do what Donovan and Rudy did in 1 year. And I think that's more because of Donovan and his like playmaking and his defense on the ball. Like in college, he was all first team, all defense. And he came in to Utah with the defensive mind. And then Rudy just helped him. So I think they're both a really big asset together, but I think Donovan more than Rudy would be.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, you know, scores probably ultimately beat defense. I will say though that, you know, this Jazz team, they were 19 and 28 when Rudy Gobert was injured, and then he came back, and then we were 23 and 4 after that. So it's, I don't know. Yeah. I love both of them. You know, mm-hmm. There's no reason to pick because we got both. And that's obviously not what you were saying. You love Rudy too. So. Yeah.
I've learned to like Rudy a lot more than I used to.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's just gotten so, I mean, offensively, he's gotten way better. And then he's like, it's not even close for who would be the best defender in the league after him. He's just so, like, he is good enough on defense that he can make up for not being an offensive star.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Jake, did you have any other basketball questions?
No, I think I'm good. I was going to plug one more time. So the article about Donovan Mitchell, it's you know, goes into some stats on him compared to some other players. Talks about some stuff he's done in the community. That's it's mjdoubletake.blogspot.com, that most recent article. It's on our Instagram page as well and our Twitter. So that's at mjdoubletake for both those sites that NBA writer Aiden Welsh put up. So, and do you have anything you want to talk about before we talk about football?
No, I think we covered everything.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah, we like having Aiden on because the farthest we got in basketball was junior jazz, and Aiden plays, you know, on real, you know, club teams and the high school teams. So
yeah,
so he brings a higher level of knowledge than we do.
He's got some inside information with the training staff, apparently. So,
well, yeah, because you're a ball boy, right? So you got to be on the court and stuff a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So. Okay, so we're going to be want you to listen to the other benches and stuff and try to hear the gossip for us, okay?
Got you.
Sweet.
Bring a recording device next season.
I'll put it right in my ear.
Yeah. Sweet. But yeah, so we're going to talk about the AFC. Just to recap our NFC predictions for playoff teams last year, we both thought the Philadelphia – there's five teams we agreed on: Philadelphia Eagles, Minnesota Vikings, New Orleans Saints, Los Angeles Rams, and the Atlanta Falcons. And then the sixth team, I picked the San Francisco 49ers. Man, I'm going to be honest, I forgot that sixth team you picked. Was it Green Bay?
No, it wasn't Green Bay. Let me pull up the NFC. I'll recognize it. It was Washington.
Washington, that's right. So those are the playoff teams for our NFC. So for the AFC, we're going to pick the division winner and then two wild cards. And then the next week, we're going to pick, you know, the predictions for how the playoffs are going to turn out. So, Aiden, we know you're an NBA writer, but you're going to help us out with some NFL stuff right now as well.
Cool.
So let's start with the AFC East, the easiest division to pick. That's the New England Patriots. There's the Miami Dolphins, New York Jets, and Buffalo Bills are technically in that division in the NFL as well. Who do you guys think is going to win that division?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be the Patriots. I will say this, I think if there's a year that they're not going to win it, I think it's this year. I haven't seen, you know, you can tell me if their defense has gotten better, but I haven't heard anything that their defense is going to be better. I know their receiving core, they've lost some guys, so I don't think that's going to be as good. Eventually, Tom Brady is going to get old. I don't know when it is, so... But so that's what I'm saying. If there's a year they lose it, it's this year, but I'm still picking them.
Yeah, here's my thing is I'm picking them because, like you said, there's some issues in New England, but there's also a lot of issues in Miami, New York, and Buffalo. Like, not anybody who can beat them, I think, despite You know, there's some offensive line problems that New England has. Their left tackle, Nate Solder, went to the New York Giants. Their receiver, Julian Edelman, suspended the first four games. Couple issues on defense as well. So New England's going to win, but, you know, sneak peek, I'm not, you know, I'm going to have to think about them going to the Super Bowl. But I think they run away with the division just because of the other teams, even more than that, they're the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
True.
You going Patriots as well?
Yeah, I'm going Patriots. Even when Edelman's suspended, they still have receivers that can step up and cover for him. And Gronkowski, who's just the big, big tight end.
Doesn't it feel like they could just go in the stands and pick out someone to play wide receiver and work because Tom Brady's that good?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like they do that. Like, some of the guys, like, Chris Hogan played, like, Division II lacrosse or something like that before he came to the NFL. Like, they just find, like, the most random people. Like, Wes Welker walked on to Texas Tech. Julian Edelman played quarterback at Kent State. Like, the most random. Like, clearly receiver's not a position they prioritize in the draft or free agency.
And it's really interesting because all the guys they get to wide receiver don't seem to be guys that any other team wants. So,
yeah, and then New England signs them and the rest of the league's like, oh, crap. Guess we should have signed that guy. Okay, cool. So New England, not a lot of drama there. Let's go to the AFC South. So that's the Jacksonville Jaguars, Houston Texans, Tennessee Titans, and Indianapolis Colts. So division winner, who do you two think wins this division?
I'm going with the Jaguars.
You're going Jaguars?
Jaguars, yeah. I think, you know, they showed a lot from last year. I mean, I don't really know what's been going on in the offseason and things. I haven't heard a lot going around with Jacksonville. I know they're still projected to have one of the top defenses in the league, and if it's anywhere as good as it was last year, then, you know, Blake Bortles really can just be who he is, and I think they'll figure it out.
I'm going to go also with the Jaguars. I think with Leonard Fournette and Blake Bortles, they'll be a good duo. And with Jalen Ramsey on the defensive side, they're going to be better than the Colts, the Texans, and the Titans.
Yeah. Is Jalen Ramsey the best cornerback in the NFL right now, Jake?
I mean, I'm partial to Patrick Peterson. As you know, he's my boy down in Arizona.
Yeah.
Jalen Ramsey's in the conversation for sure for best cornerback. And I mean, I think he's in that top tier, we'll say.
So I don't want that. I want a polarizing opinion. Yes or no?
Okay, no, Patrick Peterson still is.
Okay, deal.
In my opinion, I'm very biased, so I love Patrick Peterson. But Jalen Ramsey's the best trash talking cornerback in the NFL.
That's something.
What about Josh Norman?
I mean, Josh Norman hasn't done a GQ interview. Like, we could pull that up, some Jalen Ramsey quotes from that GQ interview.
That would be good. Yeah. I don't know. The problem with this happened to Richard Sherman. You know, it was him. And then the Seahawks weren't doing as good and his numbers weren't as good. So he can't trash talk as much anymore.
Yeah.
And then Norman, that's who we're talking about. So once he wasn't on the Panthers anymore, Washington, you know, hasn't done very good. So he doesn't have room to trash talk. So we'll have to see, you know, as soon as the Jaguars start losing, then it's not going to be Jalen Ramsey anymore.
Okay, so I'll read some Jalen Ramsey quotes and go over my pick.
Okay.
Josh Allen is trash. Aaron Rodgers doesn't suck. Tom Brady doesn't suck. Let's see. I'm in like the actual article that's on GQ's website.
I want you to read the one that he says about Carson Wentz, and then I want you to read what he says about Blake Bortles.
Yeah, actually, Carson Wentz, I actually am on that. So Deshaun Watson, this is quoting him. He'll be the MVP in a couple years, 100%. There's not even a debate about that. Him and Carson Wentz for every year starting now until 5 or 10 years, it's going to happen to them too. They're that good. He said Jared Goff is above average. Let's see. Blake Bortles. Okay, here's Blake. Blake, do what he gotta do is what he said.
I love that.
I don't even know what that means. Like, Blake, do what he got to do.
It means that he can't say that his quarterback sucks. And so he called him a game manager because that's the best thing he could say about him.
Yeah.
That's so good. I love that so much.
And then he said that in practice, Blake Bortles doesn't play against the starters because they don't want to hurt his confidence.
That's probably what I would do if I were the coach.
Wow.
And Ryan Tannehill, I haven't heard the greatest stuff about him. I think Matt Ryan's overrated. And I think that's everything that was in my head about quarterback stuff.
Yeah, those were the big ones. So I'm glad we pointed out how good Carson Wentz is. but yeah, that's going to make an interesting year for the Jaguars. Because I remember, you know, that year that Richard Sherman was talking a lot every year. It was like, oh, is the quarterback going to go him? Is it, you know, going to go the other guy? So that should be some good pregame stuff.
Okay, I found one more. It said, I won't say Eli's good. I'll say Odell's good. Yeah. So I actually think the Texans are going to win this division. And that's because, you know, with Deshaun Watson last year, quarterback, they were like, once he went out, that's when the season fell apart. I think we've talked about Jacksonville having one of the best rosters in the NFL. I think the Texans are set up really similarly. So with Deshaun Watson over Blake Bortles, even if Jacksonville does have a slightly better defense, I think Houston is going to win that division because of that. But I think Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Houston are all going to be, you know, extremely close. And this is going to be the tightest division in the AFC, I think.
Is TJ Watt going to play this year?
Supposedly. He's practicing, and he says he's healthy. I mean, he might get hurt again, but he's supposedly recovered from that previous injury.
Yeah, because, I mean, if he plays, then, yeah, Texans are a real good pick.
Yeah, and the thing with Jacksonville, too, is they lost two of their receivers, Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, went to Jacksonville and Chicago. So their receiving core right now is Marquise Lee, who's
been – Wait, you said that they went to Jacksonville and Chicago.
Oh, sorry, Dallas and Chicago. My bad. Yeah, okay. So those two went to Dallas and Chicago. So they got Marquise Lee, who's been in the league a few years out of USC, D.D. Westbrook, a second-year receiver out of Oklahoma, Dante Moncrief, who used to play at Indianapolis, DJ Chark, a rookie from LSU. Like, they have some talented guys, but there's not anybody who, like, I look at and say, oh, that guy can go off every week. And especially with, like, those guys and Blake Bortles as your quarterback. Like, if Tom Brady had those guys, they'd be great. But, like, with those guys and Blake Bortles, I'm just really worried about the passing game for Jacksonville, which is that's probably even a bigger reason than Deshaun Watson and why I think Houston wins that division.
I don't know. I'm thinking, you know, like Aiden said, Leonard Fournette's hopefully going to be enough that they just have to do the bare minimum in that regard. But
I mean, he's going to have to be a lot. And I think they're good enough. Like, I mean, spoiler alert, I'm going to pick them as one of my wildcard teams because I still think they're really good. It's just I think the passing game is going to get downgraded enough where Leonard Fournette's going to have more 8-man boxes or stacked boxes where it's going to be harder for him to run. So that's – it's more of a Blake Bortles thing than anything else.
That's fair.
Let's go AFC West. So that's Oakland Raiders, Denver Broncos, Kansas City Chiefs, and the Los Angeles Chargers.
Man, I'm going to be honest. I know basically nothing about this division. I know that the Raiders aren't as good as we thought they were going to be. I know the Chargers still aren't supposed to be good. And I know the Broncos still have a good defense, not as good as what it used to be, but they still don't have a quarterback. And so I'm probably going to have to pick the Chiefs. I don't love them, especially because I'm not sure. I feel like I'm curious if what is going to happen with Patrick Mahomes is what has often happened with Andy Reid teams, that happened with Michael Vick. That happened, you know, even last year or 2 years ago with all those, you know, little speedy running backs, is that it was kind of a college system and it worked for a little bit, but then as soon as defenses figured it out, then they just lost the rest of their games that year. So I think that might happen to the Chiefs again, but I'm still going to pick them because I don't know enough about the rest of the teams.
Okay, I love that deep analysis we get from Matt every week.
Yes, football expert Matt.
Aiden, what do you think?
I wish I could say the Broncos because that's my team, but I think I also agree with Matt. I think the Chiefs will take it because not because of the quarterback, because I don't think Patrick Mahomes is good. I just think that Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt and Eric Berry and Travis Kelce can be a good enough offense and defense that they can show enough that they don't need the quarterback. All he has to do is throw it to them decent and they can make a play.
Yeah, I'm also picking Kansas City, and the reason why is, you know, like Aiden said, I'm not a big, especially coming out of college for Pat Mahomes, I wasn't a big fan. I didn't think I saw enough at Texas Tech to think, you know, he can be a productive NFL quarterback. Andy Reid is smarter than me, so I'm probably going to be wrong on that. But I think, like Aiden said, you got some of the craziest, like, they're definitely the most unique offensive weapons in the league between Travis Kelce, who, you know, is like a Rob Gronkowski tight end. He's essentially their number one receiver. Then you got Tyreek Hill, who is track speed fast. So that's a whole, anytime there's a player like that on offense who can line up anywhere and get the ball in any sort of situation, that just really is so hard on a defense to game plan because there's so many responsibilities you have to cover. They traded for Sammy Watkins, which is going to be big. You know, that's just one more receiving weapon. Kareem Hunt at running back. He's someone who can line up at wide receiver as well, kind of like, you know, Le'Veon Bell lines up everywhere for Pittsburgh. So Patrick Mahomes is going to have a lot of different options. Kansas City is going to be really creative on offense. So it's going to be, they're going to be one of the funnest teams to watch on offense. On defense, they were beating the Titans 21-3 and lost that playoff game. And part of the reason for that was because they couldn't, their defense up the middle, especially with Eric Berry gone, was really rough. So they've improved that this offseason. They've gotten, you know, they traded Marcus Peters, who I think is another one of those top five cornerbacks in the league. So he's in LA for the Rams now. So that's going to be weird seeing what they do at cornerback. But I think the defense is going to be better up the middle. They're younger and faster there, where I think that was the main issue for them last season, which is why I think they win the division. I think Denver's going to be bad. I don't believe in Case Keenum. I don't think John Gruden experiment, that's going to go well in Oakland. And the Chargers we'll talk about later, or I'll talk about later, but Kansas City, I think, easily wins this division. And I think they're going to compete for one of the top two seeds in the AFC. I think they're going to compete for a bye.
Interesting. Yeah, the AFC, I'm looking at who's, you know, I'm going to pick for my wild cards. We'll do that when we, you know, are done with the AFC North. But this just doesn't look like as good of a conference as the NFC.
Oh, the NFC is so much better. It's like the Western Conference. Like, they're just so much better. You know, yeah. Like, I think the fourth team, like, any of those teams we picked in the NFC to win their division, Rams, Saints, Vikings, Eagles, any of those four would be the favorite, I think, in their division in the AFC East. The only exception, I think, is the Patriots, and that's just because of Tom Brady. Even with Brady, though, if, you know, any of those teams were in the AFC, I would pick probably the Patriots to be a wild card and that team to win the division.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Usually am. All right, let's go to the AFC North, and then we'll do our wild card pick. So this division is Pittsburgh Steelers, Baltimore Ravens, Cincinnati Bengals, and the Cleveland Browns, the Cleveland Football Browns.
Yes, the Fighting Browns.
Do you guys think Baker and Tyrod can take them to the promised land? Who you got winning this division?
The Steelers, just because I think everybody else is going to be bad. That's about it. I mean, I think we've seen enough of this Pittsburgh thing to know that it's not going to work. I mean, they haven't been able to put it together yet, so I don't feel particularly confident about them. But, I mean, you know, the Browns aren't going to win a lot of games. I think they'll win some games, which is different than previous years, but I don't think the Bengals are going to win very many games. I don't think the Ravens are, so there doesn't seem to be another option for me in this division.
Aiden, what do you think?
I think I'm going to go with the Steelers as well, just because of Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and Juju Smith-Schuster, and their whole offense that's amazing. But I also think that with the Browns' new lineup, with Baker Mayfield, Josh Gordon, Jarvis Landry, all the people that they have, I think that they'll do significantly better, maybe 4 or 5 games, but nowhere near playoffs.
Yeah, I'm the same way. So I said Kansas City has the most unique offensive weapons. Pittsburgh has the best skill positions in the entire NFL. So skill positions on offense, that's receiver, running back, tight end. Antonio Brown's the best receiver in the league. I think Le'Veon Bell's the best running back in the league. But they also have – so on offense, we mentioned this, but they got Juju Smith-Schuster. And their draft pick, James Washington, out of Oklahoma State. I really like Oklahoma State, so I watched, basically every game he's played in college for the last 3 years. He is so, so good. He's just always open, and he's such a deep threat where he's one of those players where, there's literally – Antonio Brown's going to get all the focus, but Juju Smith-Schuster and James Washington are both going to have really big years because they're – and Juju Smith-Schuster, I loved coming out of USC. I watched him a lot as well. So I thought he should have been a first-round pick in the NFL draft. He was a second-round pick. James Washington was also a second-round pick. I think both those receivers could be down the line number one receivers if they weren't on the same team as Antonio Brown. So I think that's going to get it done. Like Matt said, I don't think the division is very good. I don't trust Baltimore. I think Cleveland's going to be better. I think they could get second or third in the division, depending on how a few things break down. I think Cincinnati just, they had one of the best rosters for a long time. We talked about Jacksonville and Philly and Minnesota having the best roster. That used to be Cincinnati, but that's fallen off. AJ Green is really good. Other than that, though, they don't really have a whole lot. So I think Pittsburgh's going to win that division. So the only division we disagreed on was the AFC South, where I picked Houston and you two picked Jacksonville. The other three, we all picked Pittsburgh, New England, and Kansas City to win those respective divisions.
Right, and I think, the one we disagree with, the South, I think we're both picking the one that the other team, or that the other guy picked as a wild card. I know I'm picking the... Texans are the wild card.
Yeah, I think Jacksonville will be that fifth wild card. I think they're still a really talented team. I just think the addition of Deshaun Watson for hopefully the whole season and the downgrade of the passing attack for Jacksonville is what's going to win Houston win that division. But I think both teams are going to make the playoffs. Aiden, what do you think? Who's that first wild card team you're looking at?
I think that easily the Patriots and the Steelers are going to be the top two in that whole AFC. But I think the Texans also, just knowing their roster, with DeAndre Hopkins and everybody, I think that they'll be the wild card.
Yeah, so pretty consensus there. Okay, so this one we're probably going to get some disagreement on. So last wild card spot, there's two teams that I've been flip-flopping between. All week because I knew I was going to do this. Who do you guys have as your last team getting into the playoffs? And then if you want, you can say your first team missing the playoffs.
Well, to be honest, I would feel more comfortable just not picking a team and saying the AFC is going to have 5 teams in the playoffs than this. But because I need to say another team, I'm going to say the Colts because Andrew Luck is theoretically going to play. And, having a quarterback makes a big difference, so maybe he'll be the guy that can, And that's another thing is that we haven't picked I think it's every year the NFL has one division where the last place team goes to the first place team. We haven't picked that in the NFC or the AFC, but I think taking the Colts as the last place team, I think they were last place last year anyway. And so them, getting into the playoffs is going to be my pick. But then at the same time, I'm picking 3 teams from the AFC South in the playoffs, which sounds absurd.
Yeah, that's a bold strategy.
Yeah, that's what we're going with because that is the terrible hand that I've been dealt.
That's just the life you've chosen to lead.
Yeah.
Aiden, who do
you got a final wild card team, Aiden?
Well, I think the one team that's going to miss the playoffs barely is the Bengals. I don't think that they have just the firepower to pass anybody else, but my last wildcard team would be the Titans.
So we got another 3 AFC South teams.
Yeah, I just really like the Titans, just not with Marcus Mariota, but their cornerback. They have Malcolm Butler now. from New England. They have their running backs are Derrick Henry and Deion Lewis, who are both really good and can play the double position at running back. So I think they'll have enough power to get through to the wild card.
Yeah, see, and Tennessee was one of the teams I was picking, you know, one of those two teams I was flip-flopping between. I think everything Aiden said spot on. They got Corey Davis, who, you know, had an injured rookie year. If he's fully healthy, he's a receiver out of Western Michigan. He was a lot of the reason that they went undefeated and went to the Cotton Bowl a couple of years ago. But just for sake of argument, because Aiden picked Tennessee, I'm going to pick the Chargers to make the playoffs. So that'll Tennessee be the team I have just missing him. I think the thing with the Chargers is at defensive end, linebacker, and cornerback, they have three of the top 5 or 10 players in that position at all three of those. They got Joey Bosa at defensive end. They got Melvin Ingram at linebacker, who is essentially another pass rusher in most situations. Then they have Casey Hayward at cornerback. He's in that top tier of cornerbacks in the NFL. I think that's going to be huge for Los Angeles. It's so weird they're not in San Diego anymore. And then on offense, you got Melvin Gordon and Keenan Allen's a top receiver. I don't think he's a top 5 receiver. I think he's a top 10, but really talented player. I think Phillip Rivers has a lot of weapons there as well. Despite Hunter Henry, their tight end, who I really like, he's going to miss the season with, I believe it's an ACL tear. But I think their defense is going to be enough with Phillip Rivers and that those three weapons on offense as well, getting it done. So I'm picking the Chargers to slide into that playoff spot with the Titans just missing it. But I really like the Titans. So if I'm wrong and Tennessee ends up making the playoffs, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Cool. Well, that was some good NFL talk.
Yeah, so we appreciate everybody listening. We appreciate Aiden coming on the show. Aiden, what is your Instagram handle for the good people at home?
What is my what?
Instagram handle.
At hateful112 with one L after the F-U-L.
Hateful112 with an L.
Yes.
He's really a nice guy.
Yeah, fantastic, delightful human being. So check him out. Again, his article he just published, that's on mjdoubletake.blogspot.com. The show's Twitter and Instagram handles at mjdoubletake. My handle's at jacobcowden28 for Twitter and Instagram. Matt's is at mattcowden24. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Either tweet us, shoot us an email at mjdoubletake@gmail.com. We're on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, really anywhere you can find podcasts. We'd love a 5-star review. Subscribe, leave a comment. We'd really appreciate that. We do appreciate everybody listening. Again, next week we're going to be talking playoff predictions for the NFL. We'll probably talk about college football because that's kicking off this weekend. So what happened week one of college football, and then going into the week one of the NFL, what we think is going to happen in the playoffs, and we'll go over our Super Bowl predictions for that as well. So thank you everybody for listening, and talk to y'all next week.